This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From off the wall, give that baby back its ball. Leave other people things alone. There's other ways to get involved. Get involved, get involved. Don't be no fool, stay in school. Let your mind become a
good yawning this morning, and thank you to my producer for the best Bahamian song ever. I put that one at the top of the list. It is Thursday, 30th of September, 2021. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. And you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And again, I have a message for you about the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. You still have time to save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Two, get a payment plan. This offer ends today, September 30th, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, toll free. Again, this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, good morning. Y'all hear that song, Get Involved? That song is the best, not just the best political song, that's the best Bahamian song of all time. Not just because it's my favorite, but because I think that's the most productive song. And I want to say this, I will continue to spoil my ballot until the first party or independent candidate choose that song as their party song, and then I vote in for you. You can get my vote automatically. Automatically. That's how important that song is to Bahamian culture and the Bahamian psyche. Get involved, get involved. Today, my guest on the show is, I think, a young man who lived that song. That have to be, see, I used to think that was my personal theme song. This have to be his personal theme song. Good morning to Mr. Jace Brennan. How are you?
Good morning, Erin, and good morning, Bahamas. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. And how is Spectrum Politics doing in all the, like, this must be the most wonderful time of the year for policy analysts and political advocates?
Well, listen, truthfully, one of my friends said that this is like the Olympics for political analysts because of the election that happened. But now that it is all said and done and we're sort of settling into a new administration, thankfully, the aggressive nature of our coverage doesn't have to be so strong. We could sort of watch things play out. And when the time is right, we will pick up where we left off and do what we've got to do. But man, this election season was exhausting.
Yeah, but I think, you know, for me, I think the urgency is really sort of a false, I won't even say a false urgency. I think it's a false assessment of whether it's too much, too strong. I think really what happened is the shortened time created this sort of false sense of urgency or made us feel like we're rushing to get it done. But the truth is, I think that this is the level of critique, of oversight, of sort of intro or introspection, right? That we should be giving our government, the process of governance, and even the space we call politics, right? Like, this is, we should be going hard at it every day.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah. In a perfect world where all of us were unemployed but still able to have a good living,
yeah,
we would be able to do something like that. But of course, Spectrum being the volunteer organization it is, it's truly a labor of love. Like the song said, you have to get involved. And yeah, if you love your country, you're going to do what it takes to save it and protect it.
Right.
Right? But stuff like this, we're gearing up for the marathon, which is the next 5 years. Or as we've seen from the previous administration, it might be 4 years, might be even less. But mm-hmm, however long this Davis administration is in power, you know, we look forward to watching them, commenting, critiquing where necessary, praising where mm-hmm appropriate, and so on.
And I imagine one of the reasons that the work is difficult is because the mechanisms that institutions or mechanisms like Spectrum Politics in other countries, the mechanisms that they use or rely on to provide the service that they do just don't exist yet in the Bahamas. Like organizations that just collect data, mm-hmm, collect and collate and make sense of data and then disseminate it, right?
Yeah.
Or I think the term is aggregate. Like they assess it according to different criteria and indicators and give you a broad analysis of what this information could mean and does mean. And so I imagine your work is not just analyzing the data, but finding the data,
yes,
and verifying the data also.
Yes, and you know, I have to give some credit to a lot of my partners and a lot of persons that I've met over this past election season, where there has been a historic lack of data or a lack of easily accessible data. There have been a lot of people over this election cycle that have put that work on themselves and have created incredible resources. So, for example, and this is not to say anything too negative about the Parliamentary Registration Department, but we all know how long it took for the final vote tally to come out for the 2021 election, right?
Right.
When it eventually did come out, it was in the form of a PDF document, which I got on WhatsApp, even though it's on their website. And when you looked at the vote totals per constituency, just as an example, mm-hmm, the parties were not listed. So the candidates were there, the total votes, but you had no indication of who ran for who. And in an environment where there were at least seven political parties in some of these constituencies, it was frustrating. But then right, I found a gentleman by the name of Alexander Hanna, who had already reformatted the data, already did the percentage of the vote that each party won, how that changed between 2017 and 2021, and all of that stuff. And I was like, man, thank God for nation builders and people who are doing right, that work, because then we were able to analyze properly.
Did he have any data on spoiled ballots?
I didn't see any, but I suspect that is because in that same resource I saw from the Parliamentary Registration Department, that was not listed.
Right.
I could be wrong on that, but I think that's what it was.
In my search, I haven't found it yet either, but I didn't search yesterday.
Right.
So it's possible that it's there now.
Yeah.
And I've run a spoiler ballot campaign for the 2017 election. Mm. I'm on air, so while I've talked about it, I didn't really focus on a campaign this year. But given the low voter turnout,
mm-hmm,
I think it's extremely important that we understand, we make an assessment of the spoiled ballots this year. Because one of the questions, and we could sort of, if you don't mind, skip
yeah,
sort of right into it. One of the questions I had for you today was about the low FNM, or the low voter turnout, and the question of whether that is an indictment on the FNM, right? Whether... Mm. Voters decided to not vote at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was a protest or it was just apathy,
yeah,
right? And so I think getting a sense knowing the spoiled ballot numbers this year and the spoiled ballot numbers in 2017 will really help us to understand the mindset of the voter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now for me, what I'll say is that first of all, I don't think anybody ever cares about spoiled ballots unless there's an election, a petition for an election recount, right?
Yeah.
They don't care about the voter as much as they care about the candidates and the potential winners.
But it's still an important data point, like all of them are. You know,
when we talk about what that turnout meant, particularly for the political parties, I had the opportunity to address some members of the Free National Movement yesterday. I was happy to be invited and speak to them about our analysis of the results. And I was actually looking on my phone just now because I wanted to make sure I had these numbers right. Did you know that between 2017 and 2021, the PLP, of course, they swept the majority of the seats, but they did so by only increasing their popular vote count by 7,000 votes.
Okay, see, now that's another question I was going to ask. Let me sort of frame this.
Yeah.
In 2017, although the FNM would have won 35 out of 39 seats, they only got approximately 60% of the popular vote.
That's right.
So 60-40. So now we know that. Let's go back over your numbers again.
Now, I don't have the percentage totals right in front of me right now, but 7,000 additional votes for the PLP. But that drop-off of the FNM was at the tune of 40,000 votes.
40,000.
40,000, which is almost 50% of the votes that they got last time. So when you look at something like that, and particularly you should look at the constituency breakdown. I got some interesting tidbits for you here. In North Eleuthera, for example, the PLP actually lost 142 votes, you know, but the FNM lost 595. In North Abaco, and now both Abaco seats are represented by the PLP for the first time, I think, in forever, the PLP lost 214 votes, but the FNM lost 1,565.
Okay, now.
And I could keep going, but you understand the conclusion that I am trying to make here.
Right, and then I will tell you the conclusion I'm going to just make. Like, I just going to pretend like it's my data.
Gone.
Right? It suggests to me that people, the trust deficit is growing.
Yep.
That people are not voting parties in.
No.
They are voting you out. And it's just a matter of who gets the least votes to get kicked off the island.
Yeah. I think the voter register, if I remember correctly, increased by about 30,000 persons somewhere in that neighborhood. So in an environment like that where you have this massive swing, presumably towards the PLP, but only 7,000 more people voted for the PLP, those aren't really huge figures. So that tells me that most of the persons who voted PLP last election probably came out and did the exact same thing they did last time, this time. Plus a few new persons, maybe some persons who swung over from the other side. But the persons who voted for the Free National Movement in large numbers said, you know what, this isn't worth my time. I'm not coming out. I don't feel inspired. Maybe I'm mad at the former prime minister. It could be a bunch of things, but it is clear that that party and the coalition that they need to win, I don't mean a political coalition, I mean a coalition of voters, they were not inspired enough to cast their vote for whatever reason.
Listen, this is fabulous. And I know, okay, so let me start here. I know that lecturers, professors, even students at the University of the Bahamas are always, always declaring the importance of data, of creating mechanisms so we can capture data. This data is so important. First of all, it have to be important to the political parties if they are prepared or prepared to or focused on centering the voter and the citizen as a part of their mandate. For me, as a political advocate and a social justice advocate, this is extremely important data because it suggests to me that the people who decided the election are the people who didn't vote, not the people who did vote.
And that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem. But it's now, noteworthy.
Right. It is a problem. Even for me, the person who's going to sit right here and say, boy, look here, that making spoil the ballot make a lot more sense now. But it is a problem because it means that people feel like they have more power outside of the political process when in fact they should be centered in that political process.
Yeah, no matter what they do in the booth, it's kind of important that you're in the booth in the first place.
Right, and so that's another reason why I tell people to opt to spoil your ballot. Register to vote. Go to vote. Go with the intention of spoiling your ballot. You never know what could happen to you on the way to the booth. You never know what word your God could put in your ear, would your spirit go open up to you, right? But you're there, and you have the capacity to vote. So you could change your mind and vote for somebody if you feel, but if you don't go, you're out.
You won't be recorded. You just won't be recorded. You'll be one of the thousands of people who didn't show up, and chances are you'll probably complain about who was elected for the next few years.
Right, and you can spoil your ballot, and your vote is counted, or it should be counted. I mean, that's an actual part of the process.
Now, that's a question. Are they actually counted they should be?
But they got to count spoiled ballots.
They should, yes.
But they have to.
We haven't seen the numbers. Right, so that's making me
worried.
They
don't feel as important. And I would hope, because I don't think I was an important person. I ain't really that important. But
really,
that they wouldn't not report the numbers because somebody like me has been begging them to report the numbers. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes people just do that. But this is an opportunity for them to see how important those numbers are. And particularly for people, we don't know how people connect to politics. Just because they don't wear a shirt, they don't go to meetings, don't mean that they're not deeply connected to it. And so people are at home waiting for this data so that they can make their own assessments, right? And I can be honest, some old heads, Jace, they ain't worried about me and you giving our analysis and assessment on politics. They want to get the numbers for themselves. They want to make their initial determinations themselves. And then they can listen to some young folk like us.
Absolutely.
Talk foolishness. I got a caller on the line, and then we get to some text, and we can get back to this because you got some fascinating data. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't catch the full conversation, but I just got a little part. Mm-hmm. And you said that the persons who didn't vote decided the election, right?
That's what it feels like.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because every election cycle, we never have 100% turnout. So if we could always speculate how the persons who didn't vote was going to vote. But voting is about the persons who turn up and actually participate. They're the ones who decide who becomes the government or becomes members of parliament, not the ones who didn't show up.
But I mean,
because we could speculate all day how these persons was going to vote. And secondly, this is the first time we even know this much people might have registered, because this is the first time that we had a continuing register in my lifetime that I could remember that persons who voted in the 2017 election automatically was a part of the register. We might not know to see the real voter apathy. A lot of persons, if we had the registration regularly, maybe a lot of persons may not have even registered.
Right, that number may have been much lower.
So all of that is part of the dynamics, but the bottom line is the election's about who turn up at the polls to vote, not about who stayed home, because everybody, except those who might have been disadvantaged because they didn't have the time to transfer their registration from one constituency to the next.
Yeah.
And this election was kind of the most unique one. We didn't even have no boundaries changes or
that's a nice word
for the leveling of the constituencies.
Unique is a great euphemism.
The islands of New Providence and Grand Bahama, where the majority of the population is.
Yeah.
We had some constituencies that are close to 8,000. Some had like over 4,000 persons who were on the register.
You're absolutely right.
So when we could speculate and say or at hardest it might have turned out, but we never had 100% of the vote. So anytime a party went in some of the constituencies, some of the candidates only went by less than 1% or not 100 votes or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you look at how much registered persons didn't vote that particular constituency, sometimes it'd be over 1,000 people. We could speculate all we want when the persons don't turn up to vote. But voting is about, all over the world in democracies, voting is about who turn up to cast their ballot on the days when they are allowed to legally vote.
Listen, obviously ain't nobody ever put a water 80s in your pocket. Okay?
Okay.
I say, obviously nobody ever put a wad of 80s in your pocket. You live in the good life, a life full of integrity and respect for others. But some other people out there, you know, they trying to control elections with money. It's a great point. It's a great point that you make. But I got two more callers. I got to go.
Okay.
But it's a great point that you make. I'm glad you called in. But I think what Spectrum Politics is doing is trying to provide us the data and analysis that could make some more nuanced assessments. But I can say this to your caller. You know why those F&Ms stayed home, right? Because in their heart, they want to vote. They tend to be committed to this process of governance and democracy. But they know they didn't want to go in that booth, mad at their own party, and accidentally take that X somewhere else. Because the power, the desire to vote is more potent than the desire to vote for my party.
Mm.
Right? So I think we could say in this instance, possibly it was decided by the people who decided to stay home because they knew if they went in that booth, they wasn't going to be like Aaron and spoil the ballot. And they couldn't vote for their party this run. And they didn't want to vote for the PLP. So they had to stay home. Oh, boy, that's like when you go to church and you want to be a bad boy, but you get in that confessional and Jesus touch your heart.
Oh, my.
You don't know what you could do next. Anyway, I got another caller on the clock. Good morning.
Aaron Green.
Morning.
Good morning, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Aaron, what happens if you're sick and you can't go? You spill your ballot?
Say?
If you're sick and you can't get to the ballot to vote.
Well,
it's... You can't get to the poll to vote.
Technically... You shouldn't let no sickness, unless it's a contagious, an extremely contagious disease, prevent you from going.
Well, that's why I call you.
Okay.
I call you to the good gentleman to find out. In the 21st century, it is safe to say Dr. Minnis' government got beat to waste. Can you be tough enough to answer that?
You mean, well, is this the waste beating so far that the political parties have experienced?
Aaron. Don't use psychology on me.
No, repeat it then. Repeat the question.
Not so far. Use it away so far.
Okay.
You a smart woman. I said, it's the worst beating Dr. Minnis ever get in government.
All right. I can let Jace answer.
Hard question, because it depends on what you mean by beating. You could look at the seats. If you look at seats, then I would say that the hurting the FNF put on the PLP last election was probably worse. But this one... 21st century.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I'll go out on a limb and I'll say it is. And here's why.
Okay.
Because the Free National Movement had the advantage. They called a snap election because they thought, who calls a snap election if you think you could lose, right?
Yeah.
They called it because they thought that the environment was advantageous for them. And not only did they lose, they lost in places they've never lost before.
Let's clarify this, though. Mm-hmm. I hear this thing called, prime is called snap election. You know who won the election? Yes, could you go back in history and check it out? The Speaker.
Okay.
The Speaker
fought
a snap election.
Thank you.
I need to correct that.
No, okay. Thank you, caller. Before I get to the next call, Jace, let's interrogate that just for a second. I see you callers, and I got a lot of texts to get to. Oh, that's a big question, whether the Speaker caused it. My thing is this. I think that the FNM lost the election in the time from they called the snap election. And the 21 to 14 days, that's when they lost the election.
Well, I think that's fair to say because there were so many undecided voters at that point.
Yeah.
Even though I felt like the momentum was slipping from them for some time, the campaign season, you know, there's a reason why they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on these campaign materials and all these rallies and whatnot, because they are trying to seal the deal with those undecideds. And like I mentioned to the persons who wanted to speak with me last night, I felt as though the PLP's closing argument was comparatively excellent, whereas the FNM's was just sort of like, here we are, you know, just go in the booth and do the right thing. And people are like,
if you have a car, come to our rally.
That's a whole nother conversation. But it was an interesting question. And I think that the Speaker of the House will not be recorded in history as someone who played a significant role in this election, but perhaps he should.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so entirely. I think they were stunned by that. And I think it begs the question, are you sure you don't want a lawyer for the leader of your party and the leader of the country?
Oh, boy.
But Jace, let me get into some of these texts here. The text says, I'm on Grand Bahama and just learned from security that we can no longer get $10 or $20 bills from the ATM. What kind of nonsense is that? Can you help me figure this one out, please? I think that's
RBCA.
There's an article about it in the paper. First of all, aren't you happy that you're going to be getting new ADs? New $100 bills?
Hey, I love that design, by the way. I know everybody was talking, oh, why is it no longer blue? But I love it. I think
first of
great.
All, I don't... Okay. Big up AD Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Big up AD Hannah. Nothing else negative about him. I don't know if he wanted to be on the money. Now, replacing the Queen... That's a move.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the same queen he refused to be united by.
Right. But we could have put his face in the square. We could do that.
True.
I mean, that's a bold move.
Yeah.
You know? This is a big thing. No 20s coming out of the machine. What are poor people supposed to do? How are they supposed to catch the bus? Where are they supposed to get change? Are you going to have a kiosk
where they could
then break down those big bills that they get out of the ATM in the ATM room? Also, there's a bank whose ATM door is not shutting properly. I don't know how many times we have to tell you all that for you all to fix it, but if somebody robbed me of my little $14.75 while I in the ATM machine, it's gonna be problems. Another text. Great show as usual, Miss Green. Question, you heard about the drug bust this morning with the guy driving the bus. Second question, how could someone think they could outrun the police in a bush? Where you live, cousin? So somebody once told me that we can't have a revolution in the Bahamas because we don't have any mountains. And I'm going to bring them on to challenge that discussion because this texter also believes that. Bahamians made for running in the bush, buddy. Anyway, what made them think they could outrun the police in the bush? These people ain't learning nothing. The code is no matter what you do in life, don't get caught. No, the code is don't break the law. Unless it's an extremely bad law, like putting Jews in the gas chamber or selling Africans as chattel slavery or locking up people because they don't have any money or anywhere to go. But other than that, follow all the laws. Great show as usual. There was another murder, and we say condolences to the family of that victim. And the another texter asks the question, we're 2 weeks in now, is life better than it was 3 weeks ago? Another text, spoiled ballots make absolutely no sense. All it does is causes the other major party to win. So in other words, means the same as no voting. Really makes no sense. I mean, what doesn't make sense is continuing to vote for parties you know are not paying attention to you and will continue to do whatever they want regardless of your input or your critique, or the fact that you should be centered in the very process. Then they get up on their high horse and tell you that because you voted for them, they have a mandate from God to govern and make decisions on your behalf. Or you could go into that booth and you could write a beautiful poem, like I did, on the ballot that says, stop playing with me. Try Jesus, not me.
Well, I wanted to say in response to that I did vote for someone and the political party associated with them during this election. But the only wasted vote is a vote for someone you don't believe in.
Exactly.
And I want people to marinate on that. I would never encourage people not to vote.
Yeah.
But find something to believe in. And if it just so happens that you believe in nobody, yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to stand in your way if you want to write poetry.
And a lot of people had said to me, oh, you want to spoil your ballot. Why didn't you just start your own party or join a party? Well, I'm going to tell you all, you know.
Anyway.
I've tried to give, not even join. Like, because when you join, you sort of get something back. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want anything back. I tried to give the things I have for free to several parties. And they didn't even rate me. They didn't even want to talk to me. And so I decided to spoil my ballot, but I feel bad now. I can be honest. I'd be honest with the Bahamian people, I feel bad. I wish I had voted for the coalition of independent candidate. You see, the independent part, that's what I wanted to vote for.
Now,
I
can't. Aaron, what constituency you live in?
I live in St. Anne's, but
St. Anne's?
Yes.
I don't remember that candidate.
Miss Miller had first of all, she's a miss. But she had a great turnout. Mm. Her team supported her. You know? And although I didn't know where her constituents, I mean, that's the real reason. I could tell her the real reason I didn't vote for you, because that's like a spoiled ballot in St. Anne's. It's that I didn't even know where your constituency office is.
Mm.
But I didn't even know where the PLP's constituency office was either. So that puts you on equal footing with them. Right? Another text, I didn't vote because the FNM didn't offer a leader. But I'm not complaining about who win. I'm looking for my new government, the Bahamian government, for all Bahamians to act ethically in everything. To appoint ethical, competent people to positions of trust and to create policies to turn this country around. Texas, Lady Green, please ask FNM former candidate and others to remove their big billboards from by the Seabreeze Canal. PLP has moved all of their signs.
Hmm.
And I'd like to say, Coalition of Independence, PLP, FNM, they move all they signed from Johnson Road entrance the day after.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much.
In Freetown, Mr. Diaghilus' signs were gone very quickly, and then Mr. Munro's signs stayed up for a few days. They put a little thank you note under it, which I think is appropriate for a little while, you know, do your little victory lap, and now they're gone. So,
Absolutely. Okay, I'm just read these last two texts, and then caller, we get to this call, and then Jace, we get back into these questions. The text says, Aaron and guests, do we know the demographics of who the majority of millennials and Gen Z voted for?
I wish that there was a way to accurately get that, because even if we had exit polls, which would require you to have exit pollers at almost every polling station, which we don't have.
Yeah.
That would still not tell the full story. We don't have any... Because our vote is private, there's no way from anybody to really understand what an entire demographic did without also understanding the identities of those persons.
Right.
You know, so you have to either compromise that part of our normal voter privacy or just kind of accept that you won't know unless other companies do polling and you have to trust they're accurate.
Right. Or we sort of try to shift the culture around politics and elections and use online technology, digital technology to engage the voting base and find out if young people are willing to participate in an anonymous, right?
Mm-hmm.
A bit honesty. And so we get some, try to get some authentic data on that. But I think it's very important that we understand we need to know what the youth vote is.
Absolutely.
And I know that political parties need that data, whether they know it or not.
You know, while we're talking about this, and I'll let you get to the callers and whatnot, I'm going to look up some of the polls we did during the last election on our Spectrum page and then share some of the results later.
Absolutely. And to the point where political parties should be paying, right? They should be either funding or creating their own data analysis mechanisms. Let's get to the caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Lady Green.
Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Yes, ma'am, and good morning to your guests and to your listeners. You
know,
I kind of sure agree that it's all about who show up to the poll, but the people who register, except the persons who died, whom names might still be on the register, the set who alive and registered a vote and did not show up or will not. I mean, in an election, I think it says that they care less. I don't think they decide the election. I think it's who show up. It's obvious. It's sending a message, but it doesn't. They don't make the decision who will be the next government. I think they just show you like they either fed up, and they really care less. And you say when the former government lost the election, from Dr. Minnis say in Parliament or somewhere, you say the next time around he could do for the poor people. I think it was finalized. They would lose the election or the government will change. I think a lot of things done. People made up their mind a little while back. I don't know if you have any poll on that. So sorry, I didn't catch your name, Ms. Green. We have a dying or a trying need. If you don't mind, if you could echo something for us, please. Maybe persons might not be. I ain't hear no one on the radio saying nothing. And I know it rough out here. But the government changed now, and they had one place their name, Beach and Parks Road. The people who was cleaning on the side of the road, Shannon Dor Cartwright was the chairman there.
Yeah.
Now the government changed. He ain't the chairman no more, although he ran a seat.
Yeah.
Some people was waiting from July to get paid, Lady Green. And I just was, not barking or complaining or anything, but on behalf of people out there who might have it as a dying need or a trying need, a challenge right now, if they could please see if they could... You know,
expedite.
I know the government paid day yesterday or day before yesterday.
Yeah.
Please, these people, it's taking a little long for us to get paid right now, but it really rough out here right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people depending on it. So if they could please get to that, if anybody listening in authority, and if you could echo that for me, I'll appreciate it, Lady
Absolutely.
Green. All right, ma'am.
Absolutely. And I'd like the powers to be that heard that call to please act on it quickly. Don't mind me, because I can tell you, expedite it like you expedited the swearing in of the new prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how fast you need to work on it. Because if you really practice empathy, you realize that people are involved in this program because of their economic situation. And when you understand that, you understand that they can't wait 3 months. They're not like a big vendor. They can't wait 3 months, 6 months to get paid. In fact, they need to get paid every day at the end of a work shift. That's how they live in. Anyway, that's my music. If you're on the phone line, please hold. We will be right back after this break, so stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Tell Teddy, go tell below. Knock it down on your
2021. This one's for everyone.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas invites students in grades 4 through 12 to compete in the Get Money Smart Bahamas video essay competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5 minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Before we cut off that, before we ended the call with one of the callers, I wanted to go through a list of things to ask you, like a timeline of when it is possibly the FNM could have lost this. But let's get to this caller and then we get into that segment. Caller, you are, I am so sorry, caller, you are no longer on the clock, right? So, when the prior caller called, we had to go to a break. And, you know, the statement, when did the FNM lose the election? And initially I said 14 to 21 days before the election. As being conservative, as far as I am concerned, the FNM lost the election the night of the rally in Grand Bahama when former Senator Jasmine Darius got on stage and spewed some homophobic vitriol. And I watched these guys, them kiki and giggle and ka-ka-ka, right? Or it could have been the picture of Peter Turnquest with the big stogie, the big cigar and the bottle of Hennessy in his hand doing a New Jack City pose, right? It could have been that. It could have been Oban, right? It could have been that. It could have been BPL. It could have been when
Dorian.
It could have been when the board said, hey, that was the old board. Mm-hmm. We ain't on y'all run. We don't have nothing to answer. It could have been when Donovan Moxie tried to submit his company for bid on a BPL contract.
Could have been
and
Brent
nobody
Simonet
said anything.
And the post office.
Right. It could have been that. There are tons of things it could have been. Mm-hmm. Right. And I could be honest with y'all. I wanted to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I also had to weigh whether they would be perceived or be actually become a bias, right? A bias presentation. And so I did measure it a little bit. But tell me, what do you think, Jace?
I think the FNM lost the election when they made the election about Brave Davis. And I stand by that statement.
Yeah.
If you listened to the FNM's campaign, yes, they had It's About Your Future. But what they really were saying was, don't look at the present. And definitely don't look at those other guys. Don't mm-hmm. look at Brave Davis. He's not an electable option to be prime minister. And Brave Davis and the PLP in response said, you want to talk about me? Okay, fine. Well, let me show you what I did for Cat Island. Let me show you that my grandparents were subsistence farmers at Cat Island. Remember that ad? It mm-hmm. was everywhere. Let me show you, you know, that I take questions from the press, that I do these little interviews. When Spectrum went and sent out town hall meeting invitations, and I'm saying this completely unbiased, mm-hmm. the PLP was the first to respond. And they said, matter of fact, let's put it on TV. And yeah. the FNM never responded to our request. So the PLP approached their perceptual problems very constructively. And they got the rewards from putting in that work. The FNM was like, well, here we are. You either love us or hate us. If you hate us, we don't really care. We're only talking to our base. And they counted on the base, as far as I could tell, to turn out again and give them the victory. But They lost a lot of independents and swing voters along the way, while Brave Davis, becoming the main character of the election, had something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up becoming the underdog that won the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's just how I look at it.
Right. I think they lost a large number of base votes in their handling of the pandemic and its intersection with campaigning. Right. I think that weekend in Centerville, when they launched the campaign, I think, for the Centerville candidate, the prime minister's on the scene and all of those people.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think
the 40 people in red walking around, even though the campaign restrictions were, I think it was still down to 5 people at the time.
I'm not even sure. No, I don't even think they had created a minimum limit. I think there was no campaigning. Right? I think it was no...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And right? then the PM at the time was asked, hey, you know, we're in a pandemic. How do you feel about all these people bunched up together? And he was like, oh, well, we're all wearing masks and we're all socially distant.
Yeah. It's at that point that people really began to question, right, his ability to prioritize governance over politics. I think that's one of the key things. Like me, I was looking at your ability to cause and compel your actors and Bahamian citizens to discipline themselves. But I think that's one thing that Bahamians used, your ability or your willingness to prioritize governance over politics.
That's a good point.
Let me get to this caller and then and some text, and we can go into third parties.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, how you doing? To you, Ms. Green.
Yeah, good morning.
And your guest, good morning.
Good morning.
Dallin Johnson. Let me say, on the digitization, what happens is, this is why it's a need for us to digitize the voting process. With an accurate digitization process and an anonymizing type environment, you can actually guarantee an anonymity by the software itself being programmed not to even reveal to the programmer the voting, how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it also allows you to extract in the form of dark data from that data the statistics on voting direction, age, or whatever else. You can set up whatever parameters, and what you'll have is a voting commission that actually guarantees that there's no modification, verification, authentication of the software that you use for voting, et cetera, et cetera. We're in the 21st century.
All right.
On the aspect of when the FNM lost the election, the FNM was somewhat neck and neck until they began to have these daily campaigns with Hubert Alexander Minnis, reminding people that he had no conversation about the future. For 18, remember, he did 18, what are those things, those rallies?
Uh-huh. He did 18?
Yes, he did. And so somewhere around 16 and 18 of them.
Yeah.
And so each time he got on stage, it provided a certain amount of fodder that people begin to separate as to what am I voting for. So I would say that the entire campaign, move towards disenfranchisement and non-confidence in the whole voters going out to vote,
yes,
more so than voting for.
I got you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, C. Allen Johnson. I got to let you go, but not for long, because I'm going to find some money for you to build an institute so you could be documenting all of this good policy strategy, these good ideas. It just makes sense. And the young people need somebody with a sort of technical and cultural, like you understand the culture of the industry you're talking about, with that expertise to help them put together their proposals to grow the industry in the way that they think is best. I got one more. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock. I got 30 seconds for you. Good morning.
Good morning to you and your guests. Just a couple quick points. One, I think the parliamentary, if someone did something showing the demographics with the different age groups. I saw something in the paper, which I thought was like, wow, novel. I hadn't seen that before. Then additionally, are we expecting that the PLT, I hear a gentleman, I'm not sure who's associated with, but are we expecting the PLT or the FNM be any different than they have been in the past? Are they going to distract us with some little thing, we're going to lift or remove the travel visa? But the major things that need to be done to right this economy, they're not going to do. They're going to continue to hire persons, overload the civil service, run out of debt, and blame the others. And because everyone is after this big treasury to manage it and to feed their fickle fans to make sure that they get contracts, there's nothing going to be different, and our children are going to have to face the consequences We need to get out of this abusive relationship we have with these two parties and chart a different course. Thank you.
I would you, because that's all we could do is change us, right?
Mm.
I got 5% of my tithes. That's 5% of 10%. Right, that's like brave reducing the VAT from 12% to 10%. That's like 16% reduction. Anyway, you put in 5% of your tithes.
If you'd like to make a call.
I guess that's a no. It sounds like PLP Matt to me, too. I don't blame you for hanging up on me. Let's get to some of these texts. Oh, boy. Tell Bank of the Bahamas to fix the deposit service at the ATM. It's been down for months now. I can't deposit from the at the ATM. It's at.
Months, wow.
Yeah, no, for months, for real. But my situation, my check is below the lower limit to use the ATM. Mm. They're like, Miss, cheapest you just keep this under your pillow. Please tell the person that agriculture, the farmers need the tire for the tractor. The cost is only $480, Ministry of Agriculture. This person is doing their research, so you should reduce their rental fee by 10%. Thank you very much, but you're all holding up food production at a time when the chain supply is tightening up and food costs are rising. Let's think about that. Good morning, Ms. Green. Someone said, watch drug trafficking escalate now that the PLP is in office. That's a weird policy statement. I also think it's actually not factual. I don't think that traffickers care about who's in power. I think that's the whole point of the exercise.
Just a guess.
Right. And a little more nuance in that. I like the new $100 bill, but why didn't they use a younger photo of A.D. Hanna when he was in his political prime as deputy PM?
You know what, Aaron? I asked the same thing to my dad yesterday.
Yeah.
I agree. I wonder why it is on our money we keep using the older, elderly pictures of these persons. And there's nothing against the elderly.
You all want young people think they could run things, eh?
You know, maybe.
It's a real talk. But I don't want a picture of him as deputy prime minister because deputy prime minister doesn't exist. That's like, did I tell you? I didn't believe that Mayor Gwana existed until I met somebody from Mayor Gwana.
Mayor Gwana is not a real place.
It's right. And
that is something that us young people
But then I realized, it's Cumberland Street that's not a real place. It's Cumberland Street that's not real. I know it's not real because despite the fact that Government House is sitting right there at the top of Cumberland Street, the police have no idea where it is. Yeah. But the man handsome, young, old, y'all ageist. Whether you believe it or not, when you don't show up, because we only have two major parties, when you don't show, that's a vote for the other major party, believe it or not, just reality. I mean, you know, what's a vote for the two major parties? Not starting your own party.
Mm.
Not committing financially to starting a new party. You don't have to be a part of it.
Or to another party. And you know, right, with my political history, Aaron, someone asked me about my allegiance. I'm currently an independent. But previously, I've supported third parties actively and vocally. You know, if you are tired with the two main options, then you need to do something about it. You can start your own or support one of the ones on the market. But if you choose to do neither but still complain, it's kind of like, well, it seems counterproductive to me. But I understand that in this hostile environment to anybody outside of the PLP and the FNM, it's difficult. But if you want to make change so bad, I think that you should find a way to support it.
So what's the most important lesson for the third parties? I have my lesson. What do you think is the most important lesson for the third parties?
How much time we got? I'll tell you this. I left my previous third party allegiance several years ago now. And I left because I sort of saw this coming.
Uh-huh.
If you listened to Eyewitness News yesterday, you would have heard Ali McIntosh, who's the leader of the Bahamas Constitution Party, saying publicly that she's no longer affiliated with the United Coalition Movement. Remember when her and Cassie Stewart did that little thing?
Hold on, don't forget. And Adrian Archer, you are at the church doing the Lord's Wake. Adrian Francis.
Yes.
Became the chairman of the party.
So they did all of this. They created the UCM. And now, just after election, she actually said the day after election, they were out. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. The UCM came up trying to unite third-party factions, but the two biggest third parties in the country both promptly said, absolutely not. That's the DNA in the Coalition of Independents. So what ended up happening was you had at least three different factions going head-to-head with each other in the constituencies. Uh-huh. As we know, and you've got to give credit where it is due, about 8%, you know, chose the coalition. So they ended up on top of the third party rankings. But it's on top of a short pile. At no point did the third parties ever make a serious attempt to consolidate themselves. And whenever they got close, they retreated in their own little bubbles and said, oh, no, we could do this by ourselves. Yeah. And we'll never know how good or effective all of them could have been coming together because they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And as a result, the DNA is in the worst state it's ever been. The UCM no longer exists, I assume.
No, no. So let's do this. UCM never existed.
Right.
I can be bold enough to say that. They never existed. Mm-hmm. And even though they may have paid some money to get a name and tag it on to a piece of paper.
Yeah, their billboards are still up, actually.
The idea that you have a party leader and a deputy party leader who are diametrically opposed on what is going to be one of the biggest political issues ever, which is the response to COVID, including vaccination rollouts, right? Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that y'all stood on a platform together.
Yeah.
Right. And then the choice of chairman, right? And then you have somebody in your party that's actually won a seat, but he's nowhere in the leadership. In fact, you could tell me that your list was alphabetized, but this boy was almost at the bottom of the list, right? So I don't know if you really actually formed a cohesive unit that could do anything.
Yeah.
So listen, we are practically right out of time, which means that you've won the prize of a second appearance on the show, because I think that this conversation has to continue. But let's, Arlington, can we get to this caller dead quick? Caller, you got, caller. I am so sorry. You had 30 seconds and I wasted it. I'm going to read these texts as we close out the show. The FNM lost the election when they closed Munnings Road despite the people's objections. I don't think it was even that. I think it was when they didn't acknowledge that the liability that they actually hold as having oversight for the management of all oversight for roads were the signs indicating the road closure properly lit, properly posted, and was sufficient notice given.
Right? PM Minnis was too busy going to lunch. That's what he said.
That's what he actually said?
Yes, when he was asked about the Munnings Road thing, he said everybody knew that road was closed. Now, excuse me, I going to lunch. That's what he said.
Man, I got that confused with I was fishing on the moon. He didn't say he was fishing. He says like fishing on the moon. Yeah. Ms. Green, all kinds of murders. It is a new day. It is unfair and unsound to attach these crimes to the new PLP. Please tell the people, stop going to the ATM and then figure out how much they want to take out. You mean know how much they want to take out before they go in? Yeah, well, you can't spend long in the ATM either, but fix the security. I really wanted to vote DNA, but they had no presentation in my area, Central Grand Bahama. I agree that the FNM probably lost ground when they went personality with their campaign rather than merits of what the party did. They did some things, but they went personal, which was wrong. Whether you believe it or not, when you don't show up because... Oh, okay, I read that part of the text. Let me say this, in case y'all don't get it. And the thing for me that caused the FNM to lose the election is the callous and heinous way in which they treated the victims and survivors of Dorian. And I will say pre, during, post, storm, recovery, and relief. And you look at today's paper, The Guardian, Minnis would welcome inquiry, and I hope you're ready for it, sir. I hope you're ready for it. Because when the inquiry about Dorian is laid at your feet, I hope there are enough tears to wash them. It's serious business. Anyway, I'm all out of time. Thank you, Mr. Jace Brennan, for joining me. You got to come back. We got to get through this list. We got to talk about these third parties. And we got more politicking to do. Thank you to my producer, Arlington. Thank you to my audience, to the Texans. I couldn't get through all of them. And to the callers, we couldn't get to all of you. But stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to have another exciting show on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. And just before I go, I want to say thank you to my title sponsor at the end of this beautiful relationship, Department of Inland Revenue. It was a pleasure to be a stopgap, to be a space to disseminate the good things that the government has been doing and will continue to do. And for that, I say thank you. Have a great day, Bahamas, and stay tuned because you know Levon Miller is up next with Unleash, and it's going to be a great day.